was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night falls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'm joined by Keith Jones in Kansas. Keith is in the heartland. We welcome his presence here tonight, giving us some interesting perspectives on what's going on with our corrupt government and how they're abusing everybody from the strongest to the weakest. And we'll just say that. If anybody wants to join this show, feel free to call in. The number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Online, my presence is Courtroom Watch. That's C-O-U-R-T-R-O-O-M. Watch, W-A-T-C-H. Courtroom Watch. .org. Follow what's going on with the Bundy case. Follow what's going on with Ms. Cliven in Nevada, who's going to be going up for trial soon. Thomas LaCavara, who is normally the host of this program, is being prevented from covering the trial. This is the obvious. What's that, Mike? Fantastic. So Thomas, who is the normal show host here, is being held unlawfully on a trumped-up gun charge, victimless offense allegation, sitting in a room that had a gun nearby, I guess is the charge. And they're trying to claim, the government, of course, is trying to claim possession. So let me just reiterate one thing I'm always quick to say on this show when I'm doing the when I'm doing the mic here, the state cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity that only exists in the mind. Only a living man or a living woman can be a victim. And the state's claiming that the state or society can somehow be the victim of the crime. And that's, since the state and society are fictitious entities, that's committing fraud upon the court. And they're doing it every time they prosecute a charge like Tom's, which has absolutely no victim, absolutely no allegation of any plan to hurt anybody, who was hurt by Tom sitting in a room that happened to have a gun nearby. But this is how they're disarming the nation, and I'm seeing it happen everywhere and all the time. I follow this with the Courtroom Watch and the Courtroom Observers, and this is a pattern of the government making everything it can out to be a felony, turning as many good, straight, decent people into felons simply because, you know, they may have had a beer and were driving home at night twice or three times, and all of a sudden the DUI is a felony charge. And then from there on in, it's bye-bye guns, because convicted felons can't own firearms, right? Wouldn't want those felons to have guns. Well, that's the stupidest thing anybody could ever say or think, because let me say this. over 2 million people in New York State, regular conservative, Republican lever pulling business people and working class, and just never broke a law in their life, are now in possession of felonies because under the new New York gun laws, not federal, New York State, an assault rifle is any gun that that is semi-automatic, one bullet per trigger, and has a detachable magazine. That's it. Any gun that has those two features, semi-auto with a magazine that pops out, that's now an assault weapon and has to be registered with the state police. Anybody stupid enough to register their guns deserves to have them confiscated. And I got this from on the inside, 4% compliance. 96% of upstate New Yorkers put their finger in the air to gun registration, and it wasn't their thumb. So the tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal. I hope I made my case on that. That's why I'm big on the citizen or common law grand jury, which we can talk about at another time. Keith, did you have any comments you wanted to make before we go back to Johnny B?
Well, the only comment I'm going to make is that was the amount of money that was pumped into the states. There was 9 states, part of them were declared national disasters during that time. And where I come from in Iowa, it was the only state that the whole state was declared a national disaster. And yet they got some of the least amount of money that they needed to be able to rebuild the state. At one point in time, the state of Iowa was a third of it was underwater. A third of it. That's a big chunk of land. And yet, all of it, there's so much money that was lost because of the government the way it is from, you know, skimming off stuff. It was not any funny. So, anyway, I could get into a lot more with that, but that's the sum of it.
I wanted to give out a couple of phone numbers before we go any further because we're not forgetting about Tom here. Remember Tom, the host of this show? Tom's languishing in a prison cell in Lane County, Oregon. L-A-N-E, County, Oregon. We just discussed what he's being held for. He happened to have a minor statutory felony in his past, and now the government's claiming he can be disarmed if there's a gun anywhere nearby, that he's going to be charged with possession. The government's come up with a lie, a fabricated word called constructive possession. It's a legal BS term that says if you are in proximity of guns, you're in possession of them. Or if they're in your car and you have the keys, you're in possession. No. If you look it up in the dictionary, any idiot can look it up. Of course, government, who qualifies as such, won't look up their own words. But the dictionary clearly states that possession requires actual holding or occupancy. That means holding if it's an item, occupancy if it's a piece of property like a house or a car or a camper. If you're in it or holding it, that's possession. Possession is not having something nearby. It has to be in your hands. And all these situations like Tom's, the gun's not in their hands. He didn't plan to have it in his hands. And nobody's claiming he did or was going to. They're just saying, oh, it happens to be kind of nearby where you are. Well, so what happens? Nobody with a felony can walk through a Walmart where they sell guns or a gun store. What happens if you pass somebody on the street and you're in proximity to them? You may not even know them. You could stretch this to anything. And this is why if we let it get bad at the top with these federal and state gun laws, it'll metastasize on its way downward. But ultimately, the fix is both top-down and bottom-up. Johnny B., you're back to talk about the top-down fix.
Well, no, actually, I had a pop quiz for you, Eric.
Okay, go for it.
I could speak on that you were just talking about.
Please do.
Do you know who funded and got the findings of the research from the Nazi regime?
Who was that, Johnny?
The United States and Britain.
Well, sure. I believe there's a book called Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler that spells out which corporations, both financial, oil, military industrial complex, Ford, I believe, was involved. IBM, we know, built the computers, the database, the inmates at the death camps. So that's how bad it can go, and this is why what Johnny B was talking about before, which is AmericaAgain.net, is an important top-down fix. Johnny B, continue, please.
Absolutely. It's real interesting, and that is the prime reason why we had to do the scorched earth policy in Germany at the end of the war. That's why they extended the war, I think it was like 6 months, so that they could go through and firebomb the entire country and wipe out as much information as they could on what was going on. And then all that research was brought right back to the corporations that funded it. Such is the nature of a corporation. I mean, they don't expend any money without a return. And they will work very judiciously to protect that information to get it back in their hands. I mean, look at where we're at today with all of our corporations that lead us down the road on being mistreated and thinking it's a good thing. But here's the interesting thing that came to mind when you was talking about the gun laws. That's the exact same thing they done with Schaefer Cox.
Oh, elaborate on his story, or his case. I don't want to call it a story. It's a fact. Give us the details on that, Johnny.
It's an amazing thing. This kid, and he was a kid, grew up in Alaska. And he was very charismatic, and he was a very, very accomplished orator. He was a speaker. And when he got connected to I don't remember what the initiative was up in Alaska, they said he went from having like 15 people in a coffee shop to 30 people in a meeting room in a library, to 500 people at a school, to over 17,000 in a stadium. And this is in less than a year. That's how prolifically knowledgeable and how well-spoken this man was. Well, he got organized and he started moving with the common law grand juries. And I would almost bet you money that he pretty much single-handedly got Alaska where it is today, with their grand jury investigations on their public officials. Folks, that's what the grand jury's number one job is. Number one on top of the stack is looking out over the shoulders of your public officials, making sure they're doing their jobs, making sure they're handling their money correctly, making sure the facilities are well taken care of and easily accessible. That's our job, okay? But Schaefer Cox, once they got Alaska nailed down, he started coming down continental. He come down into the mainland, and he was doing speeches across the United States. And he landed in Montana. He's a strong gun rights person, but he's a very peaceful man. Well, because of the crowds he was drawing in Montana and Wyoming when he was speaking, the FBI were running a sting operation on him. Remember, they were trying to get him to tell people to go out and shoot judges and state highway patrolmen. Now, it's interesting they would pick those two targets. There's a reason for that, folks. But they could never get him to say those words. As a matter of fact, he is on recordings that were never allowed in court, and his defense attorney would not push the issue that the jury was only hearing half the information. He never once spoke about violently reacting to anything. He's sitting in prison 26 years for threatening to kill a public official. He had a daughter born the week he went to prison. I don't even know if the man seen the child. This was 08 or 09, I think. So think about this, folks. This was the groundwork. That's how they trained the federal officials, the federal law enforcement officers, to handle this situation. And then the federals went out and taught your locals. Now your locals are hiring these confidential informants that pretty much set up anybody that they can in their county and then turn them over to the judicial system to rape, pillage, and plunder. And that confidential informant is never brought forward. The victim of the abuse is never put before their accuser because he's confidential. So, my God, it's just unbelievably insane the amount of tyranny we put up with in this country.
Can I bring up a comment, Johnny?
Sure.
We can talk about this from a little bit of a different point of view at the same time. One that I know about personally is we look at the situation at Ruby Ridge. These guys came up on the mountain, didn't have a warrant, throwing stones at the house to see if they get the dog's attention, which they did. So two of them go down trying to figure out what's going on. They shoot the dog. The son shoots at the officers because they shot the dog for no reason at all. He runs away. They only have the nerve to shoot him so he can know what's happened. They shoot him in the back. The shooter that was set up at the house otherwise shot Randy. And he was just basically wounded. And their orders were, unless a male person had a weapon, they were not supposed to fire upon him. Randy did not have a weapon. He went down to see where they moved his son up to the guest house with his daughter. Did not have a weapon of any kind. The shooter, same one, as they went back in the house, was told to stand down, and he still took the other shot, and that's when Vicky was killed. But yet to this day, who's been charged with murder or even attempted murder? No one.
Well, you know, the way I understand it, Keith, he was charged and found guilty, but that was done in absentia because.
I'm sorry. I know both Randy's grandparents and Randy personally,
yeah,
so
right, yeah.
I knew this true story. So.
Yeah, I thought that was you, Keith. Good to hear from you, man. But absolutely, and that's the same program they used in Waco. The first couple of murders in Waco was the exact same story, guys.
Yeah, he was supposed to be selling sawed-off shotguns. They could never prove it. And the three kids got $1 million each for the loss of their mother. Now explain that to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Way more than that. They should have got 10, 15, 100 times more than that.
Yeah, that was a very sad story. Once again, this illustrates how bad a government can go if we let it. Some good news from Idaho recently was this is a few months back, so it's not brand new news, but people in Idaho should know there's a little breath of hope here. The Idaho Supreme Court recently ruled that implied consent does not revoke the right of a motorist to refuse a blood test. What that means is you have a right to refuse the blood test, and the court just affirmed that and said yes. Idaho police will no longer be able to forcibly draw blood from motorists suspected of DUI. The court insisted that the Fourth Amendment requires the use of a warrant for such a search. So that's good news for Idaho. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And also, we're following a case in New York right now where a man tried to avoid a deer, slid into a guardrail. The police wanted to draw his blood to see if he had had anything to drink, which he had not. And he said, no, absolutely not. I haven't had anything to drink. I'm not drunk now. And I'm not going to let you take my blood. And so they're charging him with DWI, even though they have no evidence that he was either impaired or had done anything. You know, the insurance company was fully prepared to pay for the guardrail, for him hitting the guardrail to avoid a deer. And they're all over the place up here where the area where he lives. So, and unfortunately, this charge could lead to his disarmament. meaning the take not the taking of his guns, but the revoking of his quote unquote right to have them. And he'd go in a category with hundreds of thousands, millions, I would say, of other people who now have some minor statutory felony in their past. They're not bad people. They never hurt anybody. It's just statutory stuff. And now they can't own guns anymore. This is how the government is disarming the entire nation. So, Keith, you want to comment on that, or Johnny, on disarmament and what happens when a society becomes disarmed?
Well, that's part of the comment I keep going back to with this whole issue. Mossy Toom was the one who started this, and they killed, however you want to say it, 20 million people in that country just so they could disarm them. Okay, that was a plan of Hitler. That was the idea of Stalin. Okay, but let's talk about it from a common law point of view. Under common law, if you are charged with a criminal act, okay, you're sent to prison. But when you're done with your prison time, unless it's a violent crime, it's expunged. In other words, you get the right to re-own your firearm. Okay? It's useless, if you know what I'm saying. We can talk about there was, 78 people in Massachusetts that have already been killed because of confiscations because they refused to give up their weapons. How many of those people have been charged with murder? They have a right to have their firearms. And the best part about it, they sit down and they say the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment. But they fail to understand and look at their own law and talk about a DICT Act that was passed in 1905. And it makes it very clear in that law it can't be changed, added, or deleted, or anything else. It has to stay as it is, which just gives us a right to bear arms or firearms. How much more and simpler do we need it?
Absolutely.
That's why we have to start learning to stand up and start learning how to use their laws against themselves. That's why I shared, I don't know what, week and a half ago, I stepped off property of some friends of mine. Law enforcement pulled me over because of my eyesight, and they thought I was under influence of drugs. And I said, fine, take me, but there's a condition. I want to be tested immediately. If I turn out negative, you lose your jobs. They didn't want to take that possibility.
Well, often
it's a matter of knowing your rights, so you can do.
Yeah, often you don't get the opportunity to offer your terms.
Right, I agree.
But
the problem is with my eyesight. Anytime, I don't care what it is. Anytime during the day, you can take a look at me, and you'd swear I'm under influence of drugs because of my eyesight problem. I have great fun with it in some ways because people look at me and say, huh? And I'm like, yeah. Because I'm missing the part of your eye that controls the light going into your eye and the color of your eye. So my eyes are always dilated. So it's real fun when I walk in, I call a doctor's office, and they say, well, we got to have extra amount of time to dilate your eyes. I said, for what? You got to find something to dilate before you can dilate it. You know, but in turn, it's a constant battle of law enforcement to prove who I am because I'm not under an influence of drugs. I live it every day.
Yeah. Let me hit on a couple of
things. Well, once again, that goes back to the old, we're in this bizarre world of guilty until proven innocent. Yeah. And they could just throw any charge on completely made up speculation or observation that's taken to the extreme, like somebody with visual impairment claiming they're on drugs. I mean, that's ridiculous. If that's the only evidence you have is someone's character of their eyes, I mean, we're getting into dangerous, prejudicial territory there. But it's very sad. The government can go very, very bad if we let it. And with the state, the tyranny of the local being as bad, if not worse, than the tyranny of the federal, even states' rights isn't enough. We have to fix our counties. And this is why Keith and I are always talking about the self-governing county. Keith, what was the parcel of land?
Four square miles or just under 2,500 acres of land.
Right. Okay. So 4 square miles, just under 2,500 acres of land, like 2,460. So it wouldn't take very many people to get together and block their land into if they're on the same page. I mean, I imagine one person with enough resources could buy a piece of land that size on their own, but and practically speaking, you team up with neighbors, get enough of a 4 square mile section together, you begin to make a plan, like Keith said, which is called a charter, which you're going to end up filing with the Secretary of State, I believe. And now, it's kind of a perfect combination.
Notify them and let them know you want to have that piece of the county become a self-governing county, and there's some rhetoric you have to go through for them. And then you give them 7 days that they have to notify and let you know of yes or no. Well, most of the time, they're just going to take the piece of paper and throw it in the trash and forget it. So you're good to go.
And
from there, you put up what we call a peace flag. Because we're actually under the peace flag today, folks. We're not under maritime law, okay, or admiral law, okay, which is the flag you see today. Okay, so you set up a peace flag. And from there, if you read and study it, well, you have your rights and authority, or rights and authority at that point in time under that alone. So,
in the charter, which is what you initially, your plan, like you called it, the charter is the plan for your county. And
right.
it's a combination of a declaration and a constitution almost in one. It's not only stating what you're going to do, but it's stating how you're going to do it. And like you
right.
said, with an emphasis on common law and constitutional standing, and nothing being incorporated, that's got to be in there as a deal killer, because all these towns, counties, states, the federal government, of course, and all the courts are all independent corporations now. Everything is incorporated. Your local sheriff's department is most likely incorporated, your local police department, your town. Guess what, folks? A lot of you going to church out there would be shocked, or maybe not, to find out that the church you're going to is a 501c3 incorporated church, which prohibits it from doing political activity according to the IRS. It's a bunch of baloney. They can't take your rights. And by the way, what is a church doing signing on the dotted line with Caesar when they're supposed to be serving God? So I would suggest that everybody out there, when you go into church next week, you ask your pastor, are you incorporated? Is this church incorporated? And if they say yes, see ya. I would split. And I don't even think twice doing it. I know people get comfortable in their little groove with their country club atmosphere at the church. But if it's a stinking corporate prostitute, you don't want to be with it. And it is if it's incorporated. It's an automatic deal killer to go to an incorporated church and expect to hear anything godly. They're prohibited. If you're not taking on the Antichrist system and not confronting the wickedness that we've allowed to metastasize in government, then you're certainly not on God's side doing God's work. Acquiescence is Satan's best friend. The people who sit around just want to focus on rosy pictures and maybe Jesus coming, if you're not getting her done, then you're Satan's best friend, and I wouldn't want to be there. So y'all get active, get to a private, independent church, and I think we have a break, so we're going to be right back with more on the other side of this.
Administration in history.
This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. NaturesYouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to NaturesYouth.com. That's NaturesYouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, crossed the sea of years, with no provisions, but in all ways.
Welcome back to Wrestling Republic. It's Derek Freedom Screamer. I'm here with Keith Jones. I think Johnny B is still with us tonight. We're talking about a whole variety of things. Top-down fix, bottom-up fix, the top-down being one of the groups that has some good solutions, AmericaAgain.net. We're also talking about the bottom-up fix, the self-governing county, which requires only 4 square miles and enough people in that area to put their differences aside and be on the same page and get her done for freedom and initiate your own county by filing a constitutional charter, which is just both a declaration of what you're doing and how you're going to do it. It's a plan, as Keith called it. It's a basic plan. It's called a charter. Most of the corporate counties have one today, but they're so corrupted. I couldn't believe what was going on in the Monroe County charter. They're handing out, they removed the $5,000 limit for legal services contracts in Monroe County. That means they can give out unlimited money to their attorney buddies in what's called legal services contracts, and they're completely looting the local economy and driving everybody into poverty and out of their homes. So if it weren't for a few military industrial suppliers like the Harris Corporation and a few others like that, there'd be another dead city. So anyway, I guess the military-industrial complex, you know, come to rides again. So anyway, the self-governing county starts out with the 4 square miles and enough people who are on the same page, constitutional charter, which is a cross between a declaration and a constitution, lays out a plan for your county, and then you raise your flag, and you have constitutional standing. You can enforce, your local sheriff can enforce whatever the local legislature passes, which should be at an absolute bare minimum. And all of it, once again, affirmed in the charter to be common law constitutional standing. Hard-pressed you are right now to find a corporate county, an incorporated county, that has any kind of constitutional charter. It's an oxymoron. You can't be incorporated and have sovereignty for the people. The corporation always takes over, and the shareholders own it. There's no other way around it. You can't have it both ways. You're either incorporated or you're a constitutional common law charter county. Any comments on that, Johnny B. or Keith?
I could grab a couple, three here. Let's go back to Idaho. You know, there's only been one amendment of the Bill of Rights that's ever been repealed. You're aware of that, right?
Which one, Johnny B.?
Am I there, guys? Okay, it was the prohibition on alcohol. That,
right.
I think it was the 18th Amendment that repealed it, okay? And from my understanding, the reason it was repealed was the people in the juries quit convicting the people found with alcohol.
Ding, ding, ding.
So
that's called jury nullification, folks.
Jury
and that's
nullification.
Recently what set jury nullification is what recently set the Bundys free. Jury nullification occurs when a defendant is found not guilty, even though he or she may have been technically guilty of breaking the statute in question. If the jury feels that the law is wrong or it's being wrongly applied, they can vote their conscience and say not guilty. It doesn't matter what, if they technically broke the statute, and it doesn't matter what the judge tells you you have to do. That's called jury tampering, and they should be put in prison for it. They should be taken away in handcuffs by the bailiff as soon as they pull that crap. Oh, you must have seen it happen with Judge Craig Duran in the Canandaigua Town or County Courthouse. He's New York State Supreme Unified Court System of New York State. He masquerades as a county judge, but the court's right on the wall behind his head. It says Unified Court System of New York State. He's a state judge and claiming to be a county judge. And tramples all over everybody's rights and intimidates. I've never seen a judge threaten a jury more in my life. Came right off the bench, walking down the aisles of the courtroom, talking to all the potential, lecturing all the potential and threatening all the potential jurors, the people in the jury pool who were sitting there waiting to be interviewed for jury duty, where both attorneys and get to, you know, question the juror, the prospective juror, and then if the person looks like they're friendly to your case, then they say okay, or they can dismiss the juror for any reason. It was very interesting that all the four gun owners who were on the jury for the Shane Bennett trial, and he was up on gun charges, nonviolent, all the four gun owners were summarily dismissed and requested to be removed by the district attorney. So that just immediately removed even a fraction of a chance that the man might have a jury of his peers, which is an unalienable right and a guaranteed right in the Constitution. So anyway,
right back around.
Yep.
And on that note, Eric, let me share this. I'm sure everyone's heard about Miranda versus Arizona.
Right. The Miranda rule.
You hear about
the right
that?
To remain silent.
Yep. Right to remain silent. Within that opinion, that's the only thing that the Supreme Court can issue outside of the district. This is what we think should happen. Okay. In their opinion, on page 491, it states, where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, comma, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. Okay? Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation that would set them aside. Period. And that's an old ruling, guys. Come on. Or opinion, I'm sorry. They can't rule. Now, here's something on your 501c3 churches, Eric. We're getting ready to launch a ship. Should be coming up in February. David Zuniga and America Again are putting together a American Civic Study Course for the churches. And we are zeroing in, laser point focus on the church groups, the congregations, because it's the churches that freed this country. It was the belief in God that freed this country and the wishes for religious freedom to worship your God however you want. Okay? And David realized this over the holiday season, that he had been missing the boat on that one aspect of his drive, his passion to get the American people back in the position of ownership of this country. And that's that we've lost our training in civics. And that used to be something you learned in elementary school, guys. Before you was through the third grade, you had your civics starting. Hell, by the time a kid was 8 years old, they were ready to run the farm. Look at Thomas Jefferson. He was our first foreign diplomat, first ambassador at 12 years old. Think about that. Think about that. How backwards were these people? Wait a minute. The Constitution is antique. We can't use that today. It doesn't apply. It applies more today than it did then. I'll get off my box, Eric. I appreciate it, though. I wanted to share that about that outreach. That's going to be really cool, but it's going to be up to the people that have the passion to go out and argue with the churches, point it out to them that they're not following God. They're at a false altar, a false idol's altar, every time they kick money into that plate.
Thanks, well, first thing, though, Johnny B., they've got to understand they're letting a lot of Luciferian-type stuff in to begin with. Good example, the Baptist Church had something called the Power Rangers. You said you find out it came out of the Masons. Well, I can mention several others I know of.
Sure. The Masonic Lodges, it was a very honorable institution for centuries. And all it was just a social club for the skilled craftsmen, is what the Masonic Lodge was. What happened to it was the international Zionists brought in their Kabbalistic religious teachings in order to sequester all of the commercial profits from what they was hoping would be the entire world. Look how close they are. Look how close they are. They got within a decade of having that, guys. That was why Libya was shut down. That was why Iraq was shut down.
Also, if you read what's it, Albert Pike's book, The Morals and Dogma, you'll learn a lot of it, too. And he was the one that predicted there'd be a World War One and World War Two, and he also made the comment that the only way we're going to stop World War Three is the men of God have got to stand up to Islam. And this is a gentleman that was back in the Civil War era, who is a free, hardcore Mason.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've got issues with these people standing up against Islam. Guys, that's another... they claim it's a religion. Some people claim it's a political outreach. I don't care which. We're supposed to be a country of religious freedom. You're free to practice whatever religion you want as long as you're not harming your neighbor against their wishes.
Right, but that's where I have my problem. Because you read the Quran, it has 164, for better words, verses in it of either going to war or to kill the infidel. Now, how much more need to give?
But would that be the verses that Gaddafi cut out of it, and the reason why the Islamic world, the Muslim extremists from Saudi Arabia, put a kill order on him?
That's the same one. Years. But that's still the same Quran as they use in the Masons yet to this day.
Well, I'll give you that one for sure.
So but again, where do we go? What do we call it, right or wrong?
We've got one of our initiatives. It's somewhere down towards the end. We call it the Religious Treasons Act, and it's where if there's any religion that openly decries or commits an act of violence against anybody, not just another religion, but anybody, they get three chances. First they're warned, then all the property of the church is taken down. And if it happens a third time, everything is taken. The congregation's property is taken. It all goes back into the public. And they're no longer allowed to practice that religion in this country.
Well, my biggest argument here is, though, in this country, is 99% of the people who are Islam are not here legally anyway. Well, so it don't make any difference to me.
But there's a lot of Islamists. I mean, look at Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty lived almost a decade in Libya while they were doing business there. And they said that those people in Islam, and I've had Muslim friends in Missouri, that some of the most peaceful, I mean, they're just almost pacifists.
But you have to understand that they'll do anything to lie to benefit Islam at the same time.
Well, you got the same thing with the Jews.
Well, that's another issue. We're not, we can go down another way.
Well, everybody has liars in their group. The Jews, the Catholics, the Protestants, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Marxists, the Palladians, everybody, the Cro-Magnons, they all have liars. And so...
But, there's a difference of having liars and having it in your Quran that says it benefits, as long as you lie to benefit Allah, it's okay.
Here's the deal. You're right. So, you know, Muslims, Jews, Catholics, I know the vicars are the biggest scammers and scumbags and thieves that there are. And they're in the supposedly Christians. But here's the deal with pretty much every organized religion that has a hierarchical structure and the corporate status, and pretty much every ism, the same 40 or 50 Politburo thugs wind up gravitating toward the top through coercion and manipulation and assassination and bribery and all kinds of other stuff. We know what goes on. This is not, it's not like the golf club and the bridge club and the, you know, life of Christmas parties, and it's all that what they've set up for us. At the highest levels, they're moving, and it's about power. The really highest up elites already have all the money. It's all about power and control at this point. So anyway, it's the same, you know, it happens in every organization. You know, and the Masons, yes, the Masons are absolutely the Freemasonic cult that's metastasized into something really bad has infiltrated everything. You have the Jesuit Masons at the Vatican. You have Zionist Masons. You have presidential Masons. It's you know, FDR, Truman. I mean, the whole succession. You almost don't get anywhere unless you're a Mason. If you're at the highest, not the very highest levels, because those would be the royal families and the banking establishments that have the chateaus and the palaces, mostly in Europe. I'm talking about just under them, the high managers, the presidents, the Supreme Court, the federal judges. Then they don't hide. Al Gore was right online, top 10 of Tennessee lawyer and top Tennessee Freemason, Albert Gore. Judge Bartlett of the New York State Supreme Court, a Freemason, a member of a Freemason who was admitted to the bar in 1978. He was made a Freemason in 1975. That was right off Ballotpedia. It's all out there. The Masonic lodges are the thread that binds throughout the bar, and the bar controls everything. As your judge is a member of the bar, he's an attorney. They don't let you run for judge at a higher level unless you're an attorney already. Your district attorney is an attorney. It says it in his name. Your defense attorney is a member of the bar as well as the district attorney and the judge. And, of course, the public defender is going to be a member of the bar as well. And so they have one club, they're called the bar. The thread that binds is the Masons. It runs all throughout the court system, and they're all going by a playbook. So I'm skeptical how I hope the new administration can get a lot done, but they're really going to have to. Once again, we have to do the bottom up fix while this new administration that's hopefully going to do the right in the constitutional / common law / freedom thing, and from the top down. We also have to go at the bottom up, because a lot of this tyranny, you could almost cut the head off the snake. You could get rid of Washington, D.C. and all the state capitals, And at these county levels, because there's this club, this Masonic club that runs throughout your sheriff's department, I've seen pictures in the Kansas paper. Johnny B could confirm the guys, the sheriff's deputies, were doing Masonic hand signals and made the newspaper at a murder scene investigation. It was unbelievable. But this is what happens. I had a sheriff in Maryland, admit to me that he was working with the Masons on the child ID program. And I said, excuse me? And he said, yeah, I work with them on the child ID program. I said, okay, thanks. And he didn't say they work with us, meaning the Masons work with the sheriff department and help gathering information and DNA stuff on other strangers' kids. He didn't say that. He said, we work with them. The sheriff's department works with the Masons on the child ID program, of all things. Now, what the F are the Freemasons doing working with the local sheriff department, with Sheriff Gary Hoffman in Queen Anne's County, Maryland, I'll name him, working with the Masons on the databasing everybody in the county's kid with the Freemasons? Now, of course, you combine it with the sheriff's department, and there's your public-private partnership. It's all done with the badge on the breast, and it's okay then, don't you know?
Well,
so
absolutely.
What the hell are the Freemasons doing databasing strangers' kids? You ought to really be scared of that. And don't give me this crap, there's any good Masons. There's not. So before I get too far off track, go ahead. I wanted to respond to that.
Well, you got to look at what the Masons do. They control all the commercial interest. Okay? They shot this, guys. They're right back to the commercial interest, the resources of the particular province, the particular geography. So we're right back to the resources. Not the only resource they've got left to harvest, really, is the human capital. Period. Now, here's an interesting thing that just came to my mind as you was ranting there, Eric the Freedom Screamer. The position of President of the United States brings a 32nd degree Mason to the 33rd degree, and that moves him into a whole nother level of Freemasonry. He gets out on the world stage. So
I read it about a week ago, Johnny. I read out of the book The Letters of Joe Kennedy, who was John F. Kennedy's father. Joe Kennedy was the youngest bank president ever, head of the Security and Exchange Commission for the stock market crash, intimate advisor to the president, ambassador to England during World War II, both Chamberlain and Churchill and the whole smash. And very interesting. The line that the telephone line that ran from Kennedy to Roosevelt to relay the gold decision, which not only took us off the gold standard, it pretty much stole the gold of all the American people. It was both removed the gold standard from the currency, and it was Mr. and Mrs. America, turn in your gold, i.e. Dianne Feinstein, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn in your guns. Same crap back then with FDR, taking the gold out of the currency, right out of the people's hands, turned it in. And the telephone line that ran to Roosevelt's office was called Line 33. Note the Masonic reference. I saw that right away. That's not by accident. These people are numerologists. That's why 911, from the very get-go, I knew. I said, those aren't Muslims. Muslims aren't playing the numerology game. They got their own issues. Yeah, Sharia law stinks. I'll say it right now. But 9/11 was numerologists. Look at the number. That's a numerology thing. Those are Luciferians. They're not Muslims. That was much higher and much deeper. And Rudolph Giuliani, Mr. Giuliani, is better not show up anywhere in the Trump administration. He's been popping up like a rat or a snake out of the ground, trying to infiltrate and be the head of this or department of that. And he has no business in being anywhere near. Don't forget his main henchman, Bernard Carrick, the chief of police. And who does the chief of police in a town or city answer to? The mayor directly. They're one and the same. The chief police, Bernard Carrick, 4 years in federal prison on 7 corruption charges. It was like 35 or 40 charges that they pled down. Probably hundreds, if truth be known. Main henchman for the NYPD, for Rudolph Giuliani. Liaison to the mob,
absolutely corrupt as the day is long. Oh, and by the way, he's a commentator on CNN now. He got out of prison, and now he's a commentator with the prostitutes and the hose bags with the faces that could sink a thousand ships, talking on CNN with the other mainstream prostitutes. Anyway, before we get too far along, does anybody want to make a last quick comment or two? We got about 5 minutes left.
Go, Keith.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, the thing that comes to mind, guys...
Johnny, let me do this. Hey, Johnny, I'll tell you what. Hold that thought for the next time you call in, because we only got about, like, 4 minutes, and I want to give out the numbers for people to call on behalf of Tom, because this is Tom's show, and we want to get Tom out of jail. So let's do our phone blitz here. We're looking for a phone blitz on Sheriff Byron Trapp, T-R-A-P-P. He's the sheriff that's holding Tom Lacovara, the normally the host of this show. He's holding Tom on a courtesy hold for the U.S. Marshals, and they call it a courtesy hold because he's under no obligation to hold Tom. Tom's supposed to be provided bail, and they're holding him with no bail, claiming, according to Lori from Texas, she said they're using the words or something close to it, that he's a threat to society. So they're not giving him a bail hearing. They're going to give him, they gave him an identity hearing, and then now, and requested he sign something, and he said, I'm not signing anything. And then they said, oh, we don't know who you are then. So you got, now we got to have a status hearing. They knew who he was to come arrest him, but they didn't know who he was in front of the judge. You know, it's just it's such a load of garbage. So call Sheriff Byron Trapp and require he release Tom immediately and send you a sworn affidavit from Tom's victim, the victim of Tom's crime. Educate him along the way. The state cannot be a victim. Tom didn't hurt anybody. 541-682-4150. 541-682-4150. That's the sheriff. Call the vicar general. Look it up yourself, folks. I don't have time to open the whole thing up now. I'll do it again tomorrow. The vicar general is the man behind the curtain. He's the court manager and the tax collector for the Vatican at your local level. The vicar general is named Peter Smith. The judicial vicar, whose judicial do you think he's vicaring, is Pat Brennan. And the archbishop is Alexander Sample, S-A-M-P-L-E. We had a caller to this show say he thought Mr. Sample may be a decent guy. Let's see him prove it. He could push the button to freeze Tom overnight. Their number is 503-234-5334. This is a phone blitz for Tom. We need to get as many calls this week going. Command Tom's release, 503-234-5334. And that's for the Archdiocese. Those are the men behind the courts. That's who's really all this stuff is not coming from progressive liberals. And it is coming from command and control structure out of the Vatican, the Church of Rome, the Church of London, and the Rothschild bankers still have their hand on the wheel. We're hoping that's going to change here in a couple of weeks. So call on behalf of Tom. You can find more about Eric at courtroomwatch.org. I want to thank Johnny B. and Keith Jones for being with us. Pray for this republic to resurrect. And we're only going to get it done if all of us get involved. So Courtroom Watch, resurrecttherepublic.com. We'll see you next time. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit
heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.